see. Let's have our grade school. All right, are you in grade school?
Yes.
All right, good. Let's have you all come on up. All right, you can all come up. I probably won't be able to let all of you use some special feat that requires strength. And you know, before they do that, while they're coming up, I kept missing the chorus on that song. Can we sing that?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Very good. And now we have the Columbus Bible Chapel Youth Choir. All right. And you have sung for us before. Well, today we are going to talk a little bit about why it's important that we come together with other believers every week. You know, there's probably some people that are sleeping now, or they're playing Minecraft, or watching whatever shows are on a Sunday morning. But because we know and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we come together. And you know something? God wants us to come together, to join together as a family. All right, and I'm just going to give you one of the reasons right now. Now, here I have some sticks, and I am going to distribute a couple of these. Here's one here. Sorry, I don't have one for everyone. Let's see, how about right here? And, oh, yeah, you look like, let me check your muscles. Oh, good muscles there. Yes, could you take that stick? All right, there you look like you have some pretty good muscles. And how about here? All right, I think that maybe you want to show off too, and you want a stick? All right, here's a stick. All right, now I want you to do a great feat of strength. These sticks represent a Christian that doesn't meet with other Christians. Let's see if you're strong enough to break that stick. All right, you can do it. Oh, some are harder than others. That's right. Yeah. Now, if they gave you half a stick to break, that would just kind of show shorter Christians are harder to break.
No, that's not true.
That's not what they're saying. But you know, there's a lot of things that make it hard to be a Christian at times. But God has given us the strength to be able to stand up for Him and be the boys and girls and men and women God wants us to be. And when we are alone and we are not with other Christians, then it's a lot easier for Satan to trick us and cause us to cause our testimony to get broken. But when we are together, when we're as a group of believers, singing God's praise, learning from Him, we help each other. And that's what God intends. So every week we come together to learn about Him. Let's see now. I didn't give you a stick, but you look like you're pretty strong. You think you can break that bunch of sticks? Right, use all your strength and see if you can break it. Oh, good try. And if you did, it'll ruin my illustration. It just means we need more Christians together. How about, all right, let's see. Very good. It sounds like it's cracking, so I better let somebody else give it a try. All right, pretty hard, huh? All right, let's see. Yeah, I'm going to give this to the ones that didn't get a chance to break anything. Oh, you're using your belly, huh? All right, that's pretty hard. Let's see, who else didn't have a stick here? Oh, you didn't have one. Let's see now. All right.
You didn't have one.
It's hard. I tried it myself, and that's not saying much. You know, I could probably give it to some powerful guy. Let's see. Oh, here. This looks like a powerful guy. All right, here we go.
Nice short people.
I think Bob should try.
No, I won't. Like I said, I'll do the illustration. Thank you. You guys did a good job. While you sit down, why don't we sing that chorus again?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first
first loved me. I think that's an important illustration for all of us to remember, that God has a lot of purposes why he wants us to gather weekly, but one of them is so that we can be a support and a help to each other as we face hardships in this world. I know that through the years I have been so happy and so blessed with believers during difficult times in our life. It wasn't too long ago that my mom passed away, and we hadn't been here very long, had we? And we had believers that came out and ministered to us. They even took part in the service. And Joni has had that experience. I'm sure each of you have. Right now, I know Thomas and Sheila are down in South Carolina. And there's no doubt that there are Christians that are helping them and supporting them, helping to be strong and reminding them to always trust that God is in control. And that's one of the important reasons why we are to come together as believers. I hated to start with a bummer here, but you know, there's a lot of people that are very, very lonely in this world. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes their families are in disarray. They are separated from each other. But all the time, all around us, there are people who are lonely. And of course, overcoming that loneliness starts with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a precious verse in Psalm 68:6. God sets the lonely in families. And you know, God has set us in a family. Now, as you know, we have to travel a lot, and we visit many, many different bodies of believers, and we enjoy meeting them. They are lovely people. They are brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's different to have your own family at home. And so we look forward every time we get the chance to get back and be here at home with our family. Because we know that you're upholding us in prayer, and we love you, and we know that you love us as well. Of course, this motley group might look pretty familiar to you. And as a family, we have some responsibilities. Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people." That's all people around us, everyone that God has put in our sphere of influence. But what's that next word? But especially. Can we say that? Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Let me just jump back a second. Here's a group that we serve with. I'm putting this up again, not as an advertisement. I'm not going to tell you any more than our purpose statement. Village Missions, that's the mission group that we work with, exists to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital churches in rural communities of the United States and Canada. And the key words there are, of course, glorified, because that's the purpose of all of us as believers and of his church in general, but vital. And we talked about this a few months ago, and you know, who knows, by the end of the year I may finish this series, but depends on how often we're back. Vital signs. Now, I'm not going to talk about physical vital signs. There's too many doctors here. I'd probably miss one or make a mistake talking about it. But we know what vital signs are for the most part. We have been talking about vital signs of the Christian and the church. So we're looking at spiritual vital signs. And we saw five spiritual vital signs of the Christian and the church. So we can take our pulse and see how we are doing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I don't know if I'm nervous or if it's just warm. Could someone be so kind as to get me a glass of water? That would be helpful. Thank you. Well, I got to be careful when I say that. I'll probably have half a dozen brothers that would. Okay. Let's take a look at this scripture, and we'll just review those vital signs, those things that ought to be, that God wants to see in his church. Now, it's interesting, when you read through this part of the book of Acts, it's the beginning of the church where God is bringing his people together. And if you were to read...
Let me make the trek across here. If we were to read together... Is everybody there? That gave you a chance to turn there.
But it was not intentional. Verse 49 of chapter 2. This is what it says. And this sounds like your perfect storybook ending to this chapter. Because it says this. It says, with many other wonders he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Doesn't that sound like a good ending for the chapter? But it doesn't end there. Because God instructed Dr. Luke. He wanted him to put something else in. He wanted Dr. Luke to tell us something of what these new believers were like. What they were like when they gathered together as a body of believers. It wasn't just slapped in there. It's important for us to recognize. So let's read this portion together, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. Thank you very much, brother. That wasn't part of the text. I'm not adding to scripture. Just want you to know.
It is hot water you want to drink.
Thank you. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Boy, that is even, to me, that's even a better ending. Because now we see people are still being saved, but we're also seeing how God had brought about change in a group of people that previously had not known the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? A lot of these people might not really have known each other well. So when we looked at this, the first thing that we saw was that they were devoted. They devoted themselves, these new believers devoted themselves to certain things. When we speak of vitality, we're speaking of life. And the foundation of spiritual life for the Christian and the church is who? You got, let's hear the kids say it. The
Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was through him that these people were born again. They were, as one term that's used, they were regenerated upon belief in him. And because of that, they loved him. Because you know something? You are devoted to the things that you love. And I could ask here, what are some of the things you're devoted to or you're committed to? And chances are those are the things that you like to do. So this was a group of people newly saved. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been saved out of the bondage of the law, which led only to eternal punishment because no one could keep the law. And now they found new freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they loved him. To know him is to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Isn't that what we've just been singing? So it said they were devoted to doing certain things because they were devoted to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you love someone, and this is a special day where we all express our love for our significant partner, our wives and husbands, and hopefully moms and dads, some cases boyfriends. You know, I've seen all those little notes they pass around in the school.
You're supposed to tell someone that that you love him on when it comes to Valentine's Day. It's a time for expressing our love for someone else. There should be visible signs. If someone says, "I love you," and there is no evidence of that, there's a problem there. And I would have to ask, would you define love for me? Well, let's look at five visible signs. They were devoted, they were committed, they were dedicated to doing certain things. And these were the signs that they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The five vital signs that we see in those verses are also five visible signs of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are love for the Word of God. And we talked about that last time. The people wanted to hear God's Word. And we said, use this as a vital sign for ourselves. Do we have a love for God's Word? Oh, yes, yes, everyone will say. We visit a lot of churches. And if I were to ask that question to any of these, they would say, of course we love the Word of God. Well, how often do you read it? Do you study it? Oh, are you part of the Sunday school at this church? And then things get quiet. Let's not stay there. The next one is love for other Christians. Then we have a love to worship, a love to pray to God, and a love for the lost. Those are the five vital signs of a healthy church and a healthy Christian. The one we're looking at is a love for other believers. And Scripture says here they devoted themselves to fellowship. Generally, when we use the word fellowship, there is another word that comes to mind that begins with an F. Who can guess what that might be? I can read lips. What's that?
Friendship.
Well, friendship is a good one. I was thinking something much more mundane. Let's go down for some fellowship.
Food.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. We use the word so much, so interchangeably, that that sometimes we get an idea that that's really what fellowship is. Now, I know we know better here, and I thank you for mentioning friendship, because it really has to do with friendship. Fellowship in the New Testament basically means sharing and self-sacrifice with other believers. And we saw that right in this passage. Later on in the book of Acts, we continue to see the sharing and the self-sacrifice for other believers. So, love for other Christians, they devoted themselves to fellowship. All right, let's quickly run through a list of seven ways we show our love for one another. And we're taking it right out of the passage here. All right, let's take a look here. Here are the seven ways. First, all the believers, these are these portions of Scripture, I should say. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What's interesting is that later on, a couple chapters on in the book of Acts, it said that nobody in the church had any needs because the believers were taking care of each other. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And what were they doing? They were praising God. All right, now let me just put them into some ways that we might think of them. First, they spend time with one another. When we talk about fellowship, when we talk about loving the brethren, they spent time with one another. They shared with one another. They sacrificed for one another. They consistently met with one another. They were hospitable towards one another. They were open with one another, and they worshiped with one another. Mind, I did not say worship one another. They worshiped with one another. Let's look at this first one, right? And think about it a minute. We're in a time right now where I have heard from many Christians, well, I'm a Christian, and I don't really have to meet with believers. Maybe you haven't heard that. I have heard it.
Being in rural areas, I hear, well, I can get together with God in my tree stand looking for deer or in my duck blind. And I can worship God on the golf course. It's such a beautiful setting out there. And I see the wonders of God and the creativity of man and all of this. I've heard it, and maybe you have heard it as well. But God wants his people to spend time together, FaceTime together, whenever possible. Now, we understand, even in the early church, that the church consisted of many different types of people, different social classes. Some were probably slaves, and others were probably the owner of those slaves. But you know, these people, they set it up so they could spend time with each other, quality time with each other, that they were able to communicate with one another. Now, I thank the Lord for the many modern devices we have to communicate, and I would absolutely encourage you to use them. I know that we cannot always be with one another all the time, but we certainly can encourage each other using some of the social media that's out there. Use whatever God has given you for his glory, but God does want us to meet with other believers, and FaceTime is important. Because it's really only in FaceTime that we can see how each other are doing. It's a lot harder. You know, I remember years ago when we were preparing to go to Spain, there was a young gal who had gone on a short-term mission trip, and she met a fellow there. And she was in love with him. And their relationship was basically correspondence. Well, you know something, when you're writing a letter or texting or whatever you might do, you have a lot of time to think about what to say that will make you seem really good. And it's not to say a correspondence relationship at times has not worked. But for the most part, you're only hearing what is filtered through what that person wants you to hear. And it ended up being a tragedy. We really counseled her against it. She went, I think it was to Honduras, and married this fellow and had to escape because of the terrible abuse that took place there. Face-to-face time is very important. I think of the Apostle Paul, who longed to see... Did he say, oh, I long to see your text? No. I want to see your face. Why? Because a face is such an individual part of us. It shows our emotion. Now, some, if you have a good poker face, you might fool us. But the truth is, when we see each other, we can see sadness, we can see joy, we can see enthusiasm and excitement. And when we ask one another those probing questions that we need to help each other to go forward as believers and grow strong as believers, we can see the reaction on the face, and sometimes we can hide it. So being together as we are today and any other times that the Lord would allow us to is a very important part of what fellowship is about. And if you don't want to be with believers personally, I know there's some that can't. Those in prison God gives a special grace to, then there's something wrong. And in first letter to John, John talks about that. If you don't love the brethren, you better think about where you are with the Lord. It doesn't make sense that you would say, I love Jesus Christ, but I hate the rest of the people that you've redeemed. So think about that for a moment, because that's an important thing. They spent time with one another. All the believers were together. And I think that when it talks about all the believers together, it wasn't just speaking of the physical presence together. Later on, I believe it's chapter 5, it talks about them being of one mind. It says all the believers were of one heart and mind. They were together in more than just a physical aspect. They were together in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a new church. We didn't have all of the theological systems and arguments that we deal with today that have a tendency to divide believers from one another. I think that's one of Satan's greatest footholds today, dividing believers over things that I don't think that God would consider essential. Yes, there is essential truth,
There are things we have to stand for, and we have to defend, and we have to proclaim. But there are other things that we really better talk to the Lord about before we think that this is something to cause division among the body of believers. It's not an easy thing to determine on your own. One of the saddest things that I see and hear all the time, now more than ever, are churches that have divided, and the testimony that that leaves of the Lord Jesus Christ in a community. When we went to Spain 30 years ago, one of the oldest of the assemblies in Madrid, who had gone through all of the years when Franco persecuted them, had just divided over some issues that it should not have happened, but it did. And that's a sad thing. A few years later, just before we started serving with Village Missions, I was working for a friend of mine who did commercial window installation. And we were installing these windows on this high rise, and one of our guys was shot at. It was one of the worst areas of Milwaukee. Now, most people don't think of Milwaukee as the great crime center of the world, but this was one of the worst areas of Milwaukee. Do you know what's really peculiar? When we first drove into that area, it seemed that there were about three churches on every block. Maybe a church building, a storefront, and another storefront. And wherever you drove, it seemed like all of these churches were there. And you say, why? Why aren't they having an impact with all of these, quote, believers there? Why aren't they having a more impact? Why is this still considered one of the worst areas of Milwaukee? Well, it's easy to figure out. They were all church splits. Somebody got upset with someone, and in spite, they set up another church down the block. And then, of course, they had a fight and started another one. And then the next block. And it went on and on. And what did that say to those who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? It basically said, this is not real. These are just clubs. And they're just like us. Just like the gangs that fight each other and split up. It's a sad thing. A sad thing. One of the great signs was how believers showed their love. They wanted to be together. The second thing is this: they shared with one another. They had everything in common. In chapter 5 again. Oh, I'm sorry, it's chapter 4. It says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. You know, that is definitely a change that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring in a person's life. There are many people, even unsaved people, that are generous people. But here were a group of people that had been so transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ that no longer was it mine and yours, but ours. And this is not a promotion for communism. This was something that came from the heart, because they saw the needs and they shared what they had with those that were in need. And that's something I think we always have to look at and say, how are we with that? Am I still struggling with mine and yours and keep your hands off of my things here? The truth is this, that we have that tendency, that sinful nature from the time we're children. Any of you who have children here have heard the animated discussions between siblings over things. That's mine, don't you touch it. I had it first, that kind of a thing. And it takes the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to transform us so that we start to see that everything that we have is actually God's. God, what do you want me to do with it? There a need? I'm gonna share it with you. The third was that they sacrificed for each other. It's that they actually sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Let me take this other passage from chapter 4. It says, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that among them all, that there were no needy persons among them. And then it talks about from time to time people would sell some of the things that they had. That kind of goes against human nature, doesn't it? But it doesn't go against the Christ nature. They were willing to sacrifice for each other. We know our Lord Jesus Christ. Each of these demonstrations of love for brothers are things that the Lord showed us in a far deeper way. We know that for the joy set before him, he went to the cross because of us. We know that he who was rich became poor for whose sake? For our sake. And this is the attitude that permeated the believers, that they were willing to sacrifice for each other. What a testimony. What an exciting testimony from those looking in. They might have looked and said, oh yeah, you know old Jacob, he wouldn't give you a deal on a camel fur, you know, even if it was his own mother. And now look at him. Look at him. He's giving his things to others. Why? There's only one reason for that. He's met the Lord Jesus Christ. They consistently met with one another. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now I know that it's not going to be every believer that was in Jerusalem or even who got saved that day that were able to meet together. All right, but the believers had a desire to come together on a regular basis. Consistency is important. Boy, I should be the one talking, huh? but our case is one where we are forced to travel. But you want to know something? If we weren't traveling, we'd want to be here. And I think that for the rest who are gathered here today. Actually, I don't even think that. I know that.
Amen.
That would be your desire. Because I know your love for one another. But consistency is an important part. It shows a faithfulness to the Lord. When I was serving a little church out in the country, we constantly battled with this. Of one reason after another why someone who said they loved the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't come and be with the believers. They didn't understand. They didn't understand how important it is for them as well as for the other believers that they were there. If someone is not here, I can tell you this, you're missed. You're missed. And in a lot of different ways. Let's go on. And you can go and look at these again. Look at each one. And these give us a picture. When we talk about fellowship, when we talk about loving the believers, this paints a picture of what it should look like. We throw out words as Christians all the time. And sometimes we'd rather not define them so that we know what it looks like. That way we're not obligated to live them out before the Lord Jesus Christ. They were hospitable to one another. It says they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Now I believe in the first part, when it talks about they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, it's talking about what we do every Sunday. Here, I think it's talking about they had each other in their homes. And I cannot emphasize enough how important it is. I know some cases can be more difficult than others, but it's FaceTime again, but FaceTime in the fortress. You know, let's face it, for many people in this country, a man's home is his castle. And they really don't want others in it. Many people don't. Now, if you're in the Hispanic community, then that's not something that is really strange. And I imagine many other communities as well. You can tell me afterwards. I can only speak from that because I grew up with that and I saw it time and time again. But to go into someone's house, you learn so much about them that's important to them. You walk into their living room by invitation, and there's going to be pictures that are up. And those pictures represent something that is important to them. And you have something you can ask, well, who is that young fellow there? Oh, that's my grandson. He just graduated from such and such a place with such and such a degree. And you start to get a feel for what's important to them. Does your grandson know the Lord? No, he doesn't. Could we pray together for your grandson, that he would come to know Jesus Christ? Oh, brothers and sisters, how opportunities are open to us in the most casual and informal way when we practice hospitality and we're in one another's homes and we feed one another. I'm not putting out a request. We're not around too much. And I know it's, again, there are difficulties depending on work schedules and locations, and many of us come from a lot of different areas. But hospitality cannot be emphasized enough at our Village Missions summer conference. Joni is going to be doing a session on hospitality there, what the scripture has to say about it, and some ways that we can practice that. And then number six is that they were open with each other. They met together, and of course they were glad. I probably should have added that they were joyful in the Lord. I know we're oftentimes we are sad, but we can still have joy. But I like this part about sincere hearts. We have a tendency to want to put on masks. We want people to see us the way we imagine ourselves to be. They had sincere hearts. So when they came together, their most important thing was, how can I please the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask my brother, let me ask my sister in Christ how I'm doing in a certain area. We need to learn to be open with each other. We don't need to put on shows, because shows are not going to help us inside. And they're not going to make a reality of who we are and how we act. Each of these could be their own sermon, so I've got to stop. And what did they do? It says they worshiped with one another. They were praising God. They were praising God. We get together with believers. I have no problem talking about the Super Bowl. I have no problem talking about other things which might be of interest within our culture. But we always should make sure that we have time where we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and praising Him for what He has done. Very often I've thought, after I've left a place or after someone has left our home, did they leave our home thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ? And too many times I've had to say, probably not. You know, if something was troubling in the church, sometimes that was our topic. And I was ashamed afterwards, because I didn't feel like I gave the encouragement that was needed. I'm not talking about here. But take time when we come together to end our time with praise to God, even if it is through prayer before someone leaves. Let's take a moment to pray together. And, you know, I can say, Ab, what can I pray? What is there we could pray for you and your family? And if you were at our house, and, you know, you would tell us, and we could pray together about it before you left. These are simple things, basic things, and then give honor to God at the end. Just a few things. This is what hospitality looked like in this early church. We fly through that passage, and there's all these little clues that tell us what these believers were like, because their lives were changed. Well, that's the last point of these. And that's enough for us to dwell on, isn't it? And to ask the Lord to help us with. Those are those five vital signs that we want to check on a regular basis. The elders have to check it for the local church, and we ourselves have to check it. If we're unhealthy, we'll bring that sickness into the church too. And then there are the seven ways that people showed their love for one another. Look at them, take them down, pray about them. Well, let's go before the Lord right now. And before we close, I've got a song we're going to sing together that reinforces that. Our Father, we are so thankful that you have called us to yourself in Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we can take that great name of Christians, followers of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that you have created us to live in community. We ask that you would be helping us to live in the kind of community that is so different from the world, that your name will be exalted even among those who do not yet know you. Father, help us to love one another more and more. Help us never to be satisfied and think, oh yeah, we got it, Lord. I ask that you would help us to continually strive to love you and each of the ones that you died for more and more. Help us to be each other's servants. Help us to be true brothers and sisters to one another. And we ask this in the mighty and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Quick song here. It's called the Servant Song. And it's has a couple of verses, but they're all short. Why don't we stand up? You might be falling asleep already.
Brother, sister, let me help you.
A prayer, so we can say in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And since you're standing, you don't have to stand now.